Hey, I'm Tim C.
Hey, I'm Landon Blank.
You're listening to Hacking Concrete.
Yeah! Hey, so what's going on? What have you been doing?
I feel like we're kind of in a punch list mode right now.
Yeah, I got that email earlier.
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy when you send me stuff. You just send me photos of stuff and don't tell me any description. It freaks me out. Freaks me out.
We got a PDF earlier of I guess it was 30 pages long, and it was a list of each room at this firehouse of everything that had gone wrong. It wasn't directed at us. It was directed at everybody.
So anyway, we're just from all this, from firehouses, and I just feel like we're just punching stuff out right now.
Yep.
And basically, it's all free. It's just free time right now, right?
It does seem to be free.
We're just giving away money.
It does seem to be. Yep. These are the times that we don't calculate when we're bidding our projects.
I know it.
It's the work to get the job and the work after it's done are things that we always overlook.
Yep.
And it's considerable on both ends. So what do you think's harder? Do you think it's harder getting the job, or do you think it's harder closing the job?
Getting.
You think getting is harder?
Getting. Closing to me is fun. I mean, I know financially we may not think about the added hours in there.
Yeah.
Like we need to, but getting is the tough one. That's the game, right?
It is. Yeah. I kind of can go either way. I mean, I find the getting to be zero stress for me.
Really?
It doesn't bother me at all.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah. I couldn't care less if we get work or don't get work. I know that's not the way it should be, but it's the way that it is.
That's a famous quote right there.
I mean, well, we need the work. We're fortunate to be in a time where work is coming pretty easily.
Yeah, it is.
So getting the work, I mean.
I know it.
It's okay.
Right.
The only reason you care is because you're competitive. You don't like to lose.
That is true.
You want to win every day. But you think that getting is harder.
So dealing with the estimates.
Yeah.
You deal with much more so with me. I'm kind of more on the commercial side.
Yeah.
More one-on-one act. Not that you're not one-on-one, but more kind of integrate a little bit more. Whereas you kind of get some leads and you answer back really quick.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll get an email and they'll want a price for like a garage floor. And with everything that we do, it's not popular enough to where people have any idea what it costs.
Right.
They have no idea. So I immediately just write back and say, our contact form on our website says, please send me this information. So if they actually send that, if they actually follow directions, I write them back and say, this is about how much it would cost. Would you like to get together? And a lot of times they write back and say, I had no idea it was that expensive.
Yes. Which is great because, you know, we could honestly, and I've done this in past with businesses, I'm on estimates from 5 to 10, 5 to 8. And yeah, with our life right now with our family, we can't do it.
No, I was talking to my brother about it the other day, and we are in our 19th year. And when we first started, we were doing estimates at least 4 nights a week between the hours of 5 and 8.
Right.
No more though.
Like, no.
I don't go out after 5. I just don't do it. It has to be a really unique circumstance because I just don't want to.
Right.
Just flat out don't want to. No.
So, but what we found out is the funny thing, the reason why I want to talk about it is because sometimes it gets a little funny. Sometimes it gets a little weird.
It does get a little weird.
Because I get it.
Yeah.
If I'm pumped up about something going on in my house, I'm like, hey, let's come out and talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, let's, I like you guys. Thing looks good. Let's come out and talk about it. I'm like, well, you know, can we?
The internet, you know, it has its good and its bad.
Yeah.
The good is that we get our work through the internet. The bad is that we get a tremendous amount of leads.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just really easy to email us and say, or call us and say, hey, can you come out?
Yeah.
We just don't have time. It's not possible. It's not possible to go on every one. So we have to weed them out somehow. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say the word weed them out because I don't want to put off the feel that I am not grateful for people
calling.
Exactly. Because I'm really grateful.
Because thank you so much for everything we get.
We're
definitely
really thankful for how much work we have. And even that sounds, we're really thankful for the amount of work that we're able to get.
Yes.
And but there has to be a way. We can't go on every estimate. It's impossible.
Right.
Because I've read a ton of books about, my favorite book is called Built to Sell, favorite business book. And it's about how you should set the business up to run without you. And we haven't been able to do that.
Right.
So I'm on the job. You're on the job. Mm-hmm. We bid the jobs. We're involved in the closeout, like the punch list stuff. We're very involved. Mm-hmm. So there's only so many hours in the day that we have to go on estimates.
Yep. And thank goodness for the great guys that help us out with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're
not definitely not there every minute of the day, but we're definitely there often.
Yeah.
So we kind of developed a way, or I did for the residential stuff, kind of developed a way to try to thin out some people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say weed out because that seems disparaging.
Yeah.
A way to try to explain to some people that this might not be for you, you know, if they have no interest in spinning.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people think a garage is going to be $800 and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this web form, it has all the information on it. Please fill this stuff out, give us the square footage, send a picture, and we'll send you a ballpark price. And then at that point, we can talk about doing a real quote on site showing you samples.
Mm-hmm.
So, should I go right into this?
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's an example. Here's an example of one. The guy wrote, he said he previously lived in Florida and he used CTI. So I know what I want! Exclamation.
All right. So what's CTI?
Some other brand.
I got you.
It's just a manufacturer.
Yeah.
I know what I want, like in all caps. He didn't answer. He didn't answer how big it was. He just said 2-car garage, vaguest thing ever. And then he didn't answer really any of the questions on the website. He just said 2-car garage. I know what I want. So I wrote him back and said, thanks for getting in touch with us. What's in your concrete now? Can you describe any areas that need to be repaired? You mentioned CTI in the past. So what exactly do you envision for the final look of your garage? Fairly simple questions.
Yeah.
One word answer questions.
Right.
He writes me back and says, I need you to come see me in, and he put the name of his town in all caps, ASAP, all caps, exclamation.
Right. Freaking now. Yeah. Right now.
Anxious to get moving with the project. Your video looks like what was done in Daytona Beach. So he's obviously been watching YouTube, which is awesome. Thankful that he watched it on YouTube. And so I called him. I was going to call him and just kind of walk through this stuff with him. And he didn't answer. Yeah. So I don't like to leave voicemails. So I typed up an email. I said, I just called and it went straight to voicemail. I figured I'd email you. I'll be happy to quote your project sometime. You're about an hour and a half away from me. I didn't mention that. If it was in town, it'd be one thing. He's an hour and a half away. So before we move forward, I would need you to email us dimensions of the garage along with the photograph of the area. You can also text information. Here's my number if that makes it easier. And once I hear from you, I'll provide you with a quote and we can talk about meeting up to pick colors if it's something you think you might want to move forward with.
Yep.
So no pressure.
Yeah.
Just trying to give him a price.
Hey man, you might want to do this. Here you go.
Yeah. He gets fretted. He lost the all caps. He writes back, have changed my mind for now, period.
It's over.
It's over. Just like that. Couldn't be bothered.
Yep.
I mean, he might watch this and realize I'm talking about him, but
that's a typical type of deal.
It is. And I'm sorry that I couldn't drop everything and go. Like, it would be awesome to do that. And mm-hmm. I might would have sold the job, but time just doesn't permit us to go in every one, not knowing what it is.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we been and we get there and like, we can't do anything with this?
A lot.
Yeah.
More than half.
I mean, that was a lot of my estimates in the early, you know, the first 5 or 10 years when we're doing those estimates every night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them we go and we're like, I can't do anything with this.
Right.
Got one yesterday. The guy wanted to, he said he wanted to overlay a sidewalk, but that it had a major crack in it. It was an inch wide and it had settled that needed to be repaired. So I immediately wrote back and said, we can't fix that. Yeah. Tear that out and pour new concrete.
Right.
Like I knew that because of the email, and maybe I would have figured that out on the phone call, but in previous times I wouldn't have even asked. I was just gone. All right, sorry for the interruption, but I just want to let you know that Danny from the Concrete Marketing Crew is going to be partnering with our show from now on.
So every episode, you're going to get a tip from Danny.
Hey there, decorative concrete contractors. This is Danny with Concrete Marketing Crew. And in today's marketing tip video, I want to share with you guys one of the most important assets that you can claim for your business when you're just starting out. And if you've been in business for some time, this is oftentimes a very neglected business asset that can help you make a lot of money. So instead of me telling you here, I'm actually going to show you. This is one of our clients here, Decorative Concrete Contractor, based out of Central Florida. They do countertops, metallic epoxy, garage floors, even stamped concrete, a little bit of everything. But you can see here that they've generated in a month period 376 website visitors and 93 phone calls from the Google business listing, from the Google Maps listing. This is quite a bit of revenue that comes in just from the Google My Business listing. So this is why it's very important. This is one of the most important assets that you can claim for your business immediately, like after you register your business. So what you're going to need, a unique phone number. If you don't have a unique phone number for your business, you can leverage tools like Vantage, Business Vantage Line. You can get it as cheap as $19, or you can use Grasshopper and get a Grasshopper number for as low as like $29 or $35, depending on what pricing they're ranging. Get a unique phone number that hasn't been used for another business any other time. And number two is an address that you can verify and send a postcard verification. Now, the address that you're using, make sure that it's not being used by another business that is similar. So if you're a decorative concrete contractor and you do flat work and you have another concrete business, like, that's not going to fly. Even like if you do landscaping, now you're doing decorative concrete, oftentimes there may be conflicts and you might end up getting in trouble for both businesses under the same address. You don't want that headache. So what I recommend, unique address, unique phone number, and get your business listed on the Google business profile. Go to google.com/business. And if you need any help, feel free to reach out at concretemarketingcrew.com.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks, man.
Sometimes, though, we have gone on estimates that are incredible.
Yeah, that's true.
For example, we're tucked away in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia, and we got this epoxy in a place called Yogaville.
Oh, yeah.
Yogaville. Yeah. And so we get there. We have never heard of Yogaville.
Yogaville. It sounds like something made up. It sounds like a video game.
Yeah. So we go deep into the mountains, even more than we are. Get there. Can't find the place. We look down this one road, and it says there's a sign to Yogaville. So we go down there, and we get to the end of this road, and out on the hillside is a massive lotus flower building. The building is in the shape of a lotus, and that's Yogaville.
Yeah.
And if we wouldn't have gone, we'd have never seen Yogaville.
That's true. That is very true. I do miss out on some things like running across Yogaville. Or how about Foamhenge? Have you ever run across Foamhenge in your travels?
Yes.
There's a place up, I forget where it is.
Natural Bridge.
Up near Natural Bridge, and it's a replica of Stonehenge made out of Foamhenge. So those are the bad sides to not doing every estimate. Yeah. You miss some of that stuff.
Another example is we went over to, the contractor called us over there. Pretty good job, we thought. We go over there, and we can't even get a machine in the building. And there's like four rooms in there where maybe the front of the machine could get in, and then you can't even turn around.
He's like, can you hand grind this?
So then we have to hand grind 40%, 30% of the job. And then you just priced out at that point.
Well, it's not really, you know, we talked about pricing that out. We could have put a price on that, and he might would have done it.
That's right.
But we talked about how miserable it would have been for our employees.
Yeah.
And we kind of consciously just chose. I don't think we priced it. I think we wrote them and said.
We didn't.
Yeah, we didn't price it because we could have done it, but it would have like, our employees have been miserable and we don't want to make them miserable.
Yeah.
For a mediocre job, at least. If it was something that was really great and we want to ask that of them, that's one thing, but.
You know, take 2 weeks more and all of a sudden your schedule's jam-piled because of a job you didn't even want.
Plus, they were there for 2 weeks, miserable, and they're not on their necessarily in their A game for the next one where we need it.
Yep.
You know?
Right.
So some of them some estimates we don't do or don't take for that reason. There's a whole list of reasons we don't want to do some things.
Right. Again, another thing is when you come to terms sometimes, even if you don't before, can I see a sample? Okay, we'll put down a sample. You put down a sample, it's like, I don't like that shade. Okay, here's the next shade of brown. I don't really like that shade of brown. Can you mix 30% of this one and 70% of that one and get another shade? Okay, yeah, we'll try that. We do it. No, let's do something a little different. Can you spray something else on top? I had one job. I mean, I don't even know if I've mentioned this before. Did I talk about that one where you said it looked like a dragon?
No. A dragon?
Yeah.
No.
We were doing one. We went on this one. We already had the project, and we had laid down some color, and he's like, well, no, let's add some more color over here, add a little bit of color here, and use a little bit of like a red right there.
Did you do that?
Yeah, we did it. Oh, and wow. After he gets done, he said, it looks just like a pissed off dragon. I love it.
Could you put an angry dragon on the floor? That's right, what I really envision. You got to find the right people though, because whenever we, I love to do samples for people because I feel like it kind of, they kind of show their hand a little bit during the sample process. You kind of know what you're getting into. Like if you do a sample for somebody and what you just described to me, that would have worried me to death if they're like,
oh yeah,
mix and match colors and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I'll do that a little bit, but
right.
You know, usually on the stained concrete, I'll do like three shades of brown. If they want something between those two, I'll mix two together. That's kind of where it ends.
Yeah.
Because even when you do that, you know, going from a hand sprayer to a pump sprayer, it looks a little bit different anyways.
Yep.
So our samples are kind of our stained concrete and polished concrete samples are kind of, they're just approximate. They're not really close.
Right.
So when we do those for people, it's nice to kind of get a feel for how they're going to be because it tells you a lot about them. If they're like, yeah, that looks pretty good. Or I like that one. Or if they're like, can you adjust this by 5%?
Yeah. Another reason to go on an estimate, maybe that you and them don't fit together.
Yeah.
That's right. Not going to work.
That's true.
That's not going to work.
One of my favorite estimates that I've ever been on is, we used to pour a lot of concrete and the guy said, I'm tearing my porch off. And, I want to talk to you about doing a stamped concrete front porch. So I get there and I'm pulling in the driveway and I see that his door is about 5 feet off the ground and he's torn his porch off. So he sees me pulling in. I saw him look out the window and he sees me pulling in. He opens the front door and walks out and there's no porch there. And he falls between the joists. He's taking the decking off and he tumbled between the joists like a pinball down to the ground. And he jumped over real quick and looked to see if I saw him. And he kind of stumbled over to me to meet me at the car. And he like, there was like blood dripping down his leg, but he just pretended it didn't happen.
So, oh man.
I have a lot of good estimate stories. Yeah, I don't know why I'm talking about trying to get out of going on them. Okay. So going back to samples, you know, with the garage floor, we have like 8 colors and those are the colors. That's what everyone has to choose. Every once in a while, someone will want a custom color, which is kind of complicated because I have to order it from this place in Illinois. They make it and mix it all together and send it to me. I take it and I put it on an epoxy board, paint over it, you know, 2-day step, and then take it to them and drop it off and they look at it. So I had this one guy though. He picked colors off the website. They made the samples. I sent it to him. He was like, I don't like this one color. There's 3 chips in it, 3 different colors. He's like, I don't like this one. It's a little bit off. Can I get physical samples of all their colors? So I called the manufacturer.
Red flag.
I know. I bared through it though, because this guy's the neighbor of a former employee and I normally wouldn't have. I just said, sorry. But I tried to get through it with this guy. And so I called the manufacturer Torgonol and said, I have a customer that wants to see physical samples of all your colors. They're like, all right, we got you. But I was shocked. I was surprised that such a thing existed, but they sent me a suitcase full of vinyl chips. It had like 200 colors in it.
Oh, it's awesome.
So I took that to the customer and dropped it off. He kept it for like 2 months. And he's thumbing through it, trying to organize and figure out what colors. So finally he's like, all right, I have it narrowed down. Here's 3 more blends of colors. So each blend has 3 colors in it. I send each blend off. Torgonol makes it, mixes them all together, comes back. I take 3 samples. I put them on sample boards, paint over them, 2-day process again, take them, deliver them to the guy. And he's like, oh man, I must have messed the number up. One of the codes on the colors, because all the colors are a little bit off. They're not what they're.
Oh my gosh.
So he's like, can you do it again? I'm going to pick some, you know, can you do it again? Just slightly tweak it. So I write him back and I said, we're also going to have to start charging $25 for each sample that we put together. We can still put it on a sample board for you, but I'd have to charge you the $25 for each color if that's something you want to keep, if that's something you want to move forward with. So I wanted to charge him $25 a piece for 4 samples, $100. So he's gotten like 8 samples at this point. I'm going to get 4 more, up to 12, plus a suitcase of color. 4 trips to his house. You know, all this work. So I wrote that email and he writes back and says, that's disappointing to hear. I'll have to think about that.
End of conversation.
End of conversation. Hadn't heard anything. That was a month ago.
Done. All that work.
I mean, it's possible that he will write back and say, all right, let's go. Yeah, I mean,
right.
I guess anything's possible. This is another one I'm not sure that I should be talking about. It's so close to it happening because it just happened last month. But that's it's just another example of like, you know, you just can't. There's not enough hours in the day to please everybody. You have to create hoops for the customers to jump through.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
If it's easy, they're going to keep doing it and keep doing it. And I let my guard down on that one because he was somebody that knew somebody that used to work for me. It was a referral. I kind of got off of my my system of like, this is the way it is. You have to work in my system. And I let him do whatever he wanted.
I really like it because in a way you're helping them rather quickly. First of all, do I want to pay for this job? Is this in my range? Is this what I want to do? So you figure that out real quick. So you can weed that out and it's almost like a help in a way instead of carrying on. I don't know if I want to do this. Well, this is what it's going to be probably. Here's your range. Let's meet.
Right.
If you like it.
I mean, you go to Lowe's and you see the prices. They show you the square foot price of material. And then you can ask them and they're like, yeah, that'll cost this much to put it in.
Right.
A lot of times it's say free installation. Right. So you know right off the bat at Lowe's, no one expects Lowe's to come out and look and give you an exact price. But for some reason in our trade, it kind of had gotten that way.
Well, I feel like it comes across a little rude sometimes. But yet, if you know your trade, you know what you're dealing with. You don't need to.
No.
You know?
It's not like any garage is different from another garage. They're all, 99% of them are the same.
Right.
Same for basements. They're all the same. It is what it is. And so it does. It comes across as mean. Like, we don't want to take our time to get to work. But it's not about that. It's the, you know, fixed amount of hours in the day. And we have this group of potential customers that will operate within this lane to where we can, you know, bid it via email and barely even go out there and get the job.
Yep.
And that's just like, again, I'm thankful for the environment that we are in right now. Things are pretty good and work like that is coming pretty easily. There might be a point where we go out and do more estimates.
Sure will be.
I mean, it's possible.
Sure could.
But I hope not. It's exhausting. So getting the job, like, you know, like I said, now that it seems like coronavirus has made this transition to this online thing. We've been doing this for at least 5 years, you know, trying to do it online, but it seems like coronavirus really flipped the switch to people being comfortable or having to deal with the fact that a lot's going to be done remotely.
Right.
So I'm thankful for that on the coronavirus thing. Like that's been the one really good thing that has come out of that.
Yeah. And you could essentially do everything online, never even meet, never shake hands, never do anything and have it all done. And
a friend of mine that I refer a lot of work to, whenever we can't get to something, I'll refer it to him. He never goes on an estimate. He refuses. That's just his policy. Cause he does concrete like half of his job and the other half, he has this other business that he runs. So he just won't go on an estimate. He calls him, he gets a description, he prices it over the phone, and he says, if something changes, I'll tell you the day that I get there to start and we'll talk about it. And people are okay with that.
Yeah.
Somehow he finds enough people to stay busy that are okay with that. Even that seems a little too far for me. Like I can't imagine being that rigid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating to me that he can stay pretty busy operating that way. So getting the work, that's the part that I think is easy. I guess you might not have found that to be the case.
Well, my biggest fear is that we won't be profitable. And so it's tough to really want to get everyone you really want and to still, like we were talking about, someone wanted their home done 2.5 hours from here or 1.5 hours from here. And in order for us to do that, it puts us way out of the range. I don't even want to put this in, but
I mean, you don't have to say a price, but yeah, in order to do it, it was going to be 3 times what you charge for in town.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just felt dumb giving that price.
I do. But
do we have to price everything? Do you think we should price everything? Or you think we should just tell some people that I'm not going to work for you no matter what the price is? I mean, we'd never say that like that, but that's essentially what you're saying if you don't price it, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what you're saying.
So,
and what easy way is to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'd be weird to say that to somebody. I don't care what happens. I don't care what you pay. I'm not coming up there.
Right.
So getting the job, I think, is easy. You don't love doing that, but whatever the case, it always works out. You know, we tend to get the work. Doing the work, that part is, for my stuff, the residential stuff, I love what I do on the residential side because we're in and out in 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you can work somewhere for 3 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It will drive me crazy.
Yep. So when it comes to doing a job, you're right. It is. Commercial's weird for us. And maybe if people want to comment, please help us know. Maybe we need to set some tighter guidelines or something like that. But for instance, we finished up 90% of a job and the guy said, hey, I want to finish up all the rest of the trades. Then you guys come in and do one more polish and guard it and burnish it and be done with it. Like, all right, so that just prolongs us for another 2 to 3 weeks. But it seems like that stuff happens a lot when you're on large construction sites and stuff. This room's polished. This room isn't. This room's epoxy. This room isn't. All right, so that's not ready. Or either like that, the big arena we just did. We did the bathrooms 2 months before we even started the big floor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just, those dynamics are just weird.
Yeah, I mean, we went to that firehouse, and the firehouse is a building with like 30 rooms in it, and y'all polished half of it maybe. Mm-hmm. We got there on day one. I went with your crew, because I forget where you were, and got there on day one, and it was like 100 people in the building. And they're like, no, we have room for you to start. And I called the man in charge, the guy in charge, and said, we can't start today. There's no way. There's no way we can do this. And your guys called you and said, this is crazy.
They did, but the difference between you and your crew was our guys, you know, the commercial side was more like, yeah, we just got to move stuff around.
Yeah. That blew my mind. I was standing there looking at it.
The thing is though, you're right. We shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to move paint. We shouldn't have to move drywall. But then again, we just got to get the job done.
I looked at the foreman and said, you don't have anywhere for us to work. He's like, what are you talking about? I have that room. It's like, what room? That room right there, that 10 by 10 room. Can't they start in there?
Right. You know? Yeah, 10 by 10.
It's like, no, we have to do, no.
Yeah. Give us 5,000 at least.
Yeah. That's the one thing that kills me with commercial work is that they really think that you can do a room, finish it, then do that room and finish it. They won't let us just go.
And another thing too is, all right, so we have to communicate better. I am convinced that when a project starts, the groundwork, maybe I'm totally wrong. Call me an idiot. Call us an idiot. I know it feels like the finished work is always shoved, cram packed in the end of the job. And you got to rush. You got to get this done. You got to get this done. Well, wait a minute. Did the earth guys, did the grading guys had to get that? Did they have to rush? Did all of a sudden, you know, we got to make something for you and we got to rush through this. And then you're going to come back and punch me off with an architect.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but it never fails because it's just crunch time. Things happen throughout the project. And all of a sudden we're just at the bottom end of it getting pushed.
I always imagine that during the grading and stuff that they're just like, taking an hour long lunch break and kind of moseying around and taking their time and not feeling any pressure whatsoever. And
yeah,
you know, I think that's bound to happen, right? Like if this is the end date and it's supposed to go at this speed the whole way, well, if the beginning goes real slow, then, you know, at some point there's going to be too many trades there at one time because you have to hit that end date.
Yep.
Because they're running out of time.
Yep, run out of time.
If they would front load the stuff, I mean, maybe they do. I mean, I don't know. We've never been there, but it sure doesn't seem like that they do.
We're not GCs, so I don't know, but it just seems like. But you know, the funny thing is, the date is never real.
Oh,
the finish date is never real.
Yeah, that is
true. You're going to be out of here by December 31st.
How many of those have been wrong?
All of them.
Yeah, they're always wrong.
You're always lied to.
Always, yeah.
Sorry, guys. We like working for you, but you're lying. You're lying.
That's true.
So meanwhile, here we are in one project we're on now. It's the 7th, and we should have been out of there, I don't know, the 20th of December.
Yeah.
And everything's cool.
What job is it?
The firehouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything's fine.
Everything's cool. We're just punching it out.
Yeah. They were like, if you could have the punch list done by the 16th, then we'll be good.
Don't let them fool you. They're lying.
They are. I know. It's true.